بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, there are millions of examples of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one of the greatest of them is Ramadan al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy breaks all bounds in this month of Ramadan. As we said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this month in order to help us to get close to Him by becoming muttaqun, by giving us a change, an opportunity to change our lives and our ways. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not level the playing field. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skews it in our favor against shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chains up the shayateen, the doors of Jannah are opened, the doors of Jahannam are shut. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward. The reward of a fard is 70 times the reward of that fard in normal times. The reward of a nafil is equal to that of a fard. And then for the fasting itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even specify or name a specific amount of the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih." The fast is for me and I will reward it, in keeping with His majesty and grace, of course. In this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of mercy, and Allah shows His mercy. In this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people. And Allah, in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from the hellfire. And therefore, we must try to take full advantage of these benefits. There is a beautiful hadith where two sahaba who accepted Islam on the same day, after some years, one of them was killed in a battle, and the second one, about a year later, the second one died of natural causes. Now, another sahabi saw both of these in a dream, and he saw that the second one who died of natural causes actually entered the Jannah before the one who died as a shaheed, inshallah. So he asked Rasulullah ﷺ about this. And Nabi ﷺ said, inshallah, both of them are in Jannah. And why are you surprised that the second one entered Jannah more quickly and faster than the first one? Because did he not get one Ramadan extra? Now imagine, this is just not a matter of getting the Ramadan. It's a matter of how the Sahaba used that opportunity of Ramadan al-Kareem in order to benefit themselves, in order to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that the five daily prayers, the five daily first salawat, then from one Friday prayer, from the Salatul Jum'ah, to the next, from Ramadan to Ramadan, are expiation for sins committed in between, provided one stays away from major sins. And this is in Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the five daily salawat, five daily prayers, from one Friday prayer, from one Salatul Jummah to the next, from one Friday prayer to the next Friday prayer, from Ramadan to Ramadan, are expiation for sins committed in between, provided one stays away from the major sins. And this is in Bukhari. Now, think about this. Why is this differentiation being made? Because if somebody is staying away from major sins, it means that this person is a muttaqi. It means this person is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, despite that, the person may commit some minor sins, he may commit some sins out of forgetfulness or out of desire or whatever. But this, even though those small things are there, the person does not commit the major sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person even without making istighfar. Of course, if a person makes istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive even the major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even forgive shirk and kufr. If a person is genuinely contrite and apologizes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise to forgive all sins. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. The difference is that some sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives routinely, even if forgiveness is not sought, provided the person is demonstrating taqwa in some part of his life, in some ways. So when a person is making wudu, when a person is, you know, doing all these things, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives those sins. But some sins are such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them only if they seek forgiveness, not otherwise. And of course, if a person doesn't seek forgiveness and he has committed major sins, then the matter is much more serious. Remember, to deliberately do something which is haram, which is a major sin, to deliberately commit a major sin knowingly, knowing that it's a major sin, amounts to kufr, amounts to, and if Allah does not protect us, amounts to actually denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority, can amount to actually leaving Islam. So we don't pronounce takfir on anybody. We don't say so and so has left Islam. But point is for ourselves to warn ourselves and to be careful that we do not do anything which can result in such a big calamity for the individual that a person might be considered, when we die, we might be considered to be someone who is not a Muslim at all, because we were deliberately, knowingly doing something which is haram. That's the reason I harp over and over again like a broken record about the evil of interest-based banking, about the evil of taking loans. It's such a shameful thing, despite the fact that we know that to borrow money on interest, to lend money on interest, to have anything to do with that kind of an operation is haram. Allah has cursed such people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on his behalf and on the behalf of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against people who do this. Knowing all of this, we still do it. And there are people who do it for something as inconsequential as buying a flat screen TV, a big TV or something. It doesn't matter. I mean, whether you take a loan to buy a TV or to build your house or to buy a car makes no difference. If you are taking an interest-based loan, it doesn't matter what you took it for. It is haram, it is prohibited. And if you are deliberately, obviously, how else will you do that? You can't say, accidentally I took the loan. There's no accidental taking the loan, right? You can say, accidentally I missed Salah, which is again a major sin. That is possible. But if somebody is taking a loan, this is the most deliberate of actions, because this is not even an action which you can just take verbally, right? If you go to a bank, if you go to a lender, whatever the nature of the person, you will necessarily have to give something in writing. You probably have to give something as collateral to that person, right? So it's a long process. It is a documented process. There are witnesses. Imagine, remember, Shaitan makes absolutely sure that the noose around your neck is nice and tight and fits, so that when the plank is dropped, there is no escape, right? Save yourself, subhanAllah. In this Ramadan, make this knee and say, I'm going to get out of every interest-based thing that I have, and do it right now. Forget about listening to this, just go do this. Do and remove yourself from this terrible calamity that you are inviting on yourself, which is to defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to accept a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect you and me from such a horrible situation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us in this Ramadan to open our hearts to His obedience and to see the value of this obedience, and not to treat disobedience lightly. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.